This is the Buick Riviera, the world's first car with a touchscreen, made back in 1986. The futuristic graphic control center replaced more than 80 physical controls. The graphics were so advanced, the fan icon spun at different speeds, depending on the climate control setting. You could turn the sound system up or down and adjust the balance or graphic equalizer. Trip data had its own screen. There were even electronic gauges.
Touch the new Buick Riviera, and it touches you.
The Riviera was way ahead of its time. Maybe too far ahead. The influential Car and Driver magazine gave it a brutal review. The touchscreen is meant to transform a trip to the 7-Eleven into a space odyssey. But the reality of the graphic control center is a bad joke. It was fiddly, distracting, and way slower than the physical controls it replaced. Customers, it seems, just weren't buying it. Production numbers plummeted. 3 years later, the touchscreen was removed from the Riviera. But the idea wouldn't stay dead. Ultimately, touchscreens in cars made a return. This time, they were accompanied by lots of other features that supposedly reinvent driving. High-tech handles that are hard to find and fiddly to use, and all but useless in cold weather. Gear shifters that are straight out of Star Wars, but come with a 4-minute explanation video. Many new models have been stripped of their buttons, levers, and knobs. They depend on software updates as much as they do solid engineering. There's evidence that some of these cars aren't just harder to use, they're less safe. And your car might be one of them.
And I'm like, I want to return off regenerative braking because you used to be able to, well, maybe not turn it off, but you used to be able to reduce it. And that feature went away, and so I'm going down these steep mountain roads on icy conditions with the car trying to regenerative brake every time I let off the throttle. And I'm like, I turned this thing off, and it wasn't there. Even in the moment, trying to find where in the menu it had gone while you're driving in the snowstorm on a road behind a transport truck, and it's a scary situation to be hunting a menu in the middle of winter.
In this video, we'll explore some of the dumbest features in modern cars, what it really means that they're packed with sensors, and why certain design elements are downright dangerous. Let's start with the new, the funny, and the just plain weird. The marriage of cars and cutting-edge tech is nothing new. Entertainment systems in cars have been constantly advancing since the 1930s. In every era, automakers have embraced the entertainment tech of their time. AM radio, FM radio, tape players, CD players, even record players. But sometime in the early 2000s, the insides of cars started to change in bold new ways. And in 2012, one particular car changed everything. This is the Tesla Model S. Upon release, it was considered a huge leap forward for electric cars. Car and Driver praised its range, acceleration, and top speed. Unusually, the Model S was designed almost entirely around a huge 17-inch touchscreen, about as big as 4 to 6 other touchscreens typically found in cars at the time. It was a sensation.
I think it did drive the revolution to electric cars. It made people think it was possible. You know, I mean, no one ever thought it was possible, really, to have an electric car before that came onto the market.
Tesla jump-started a craze for minimalist, digital-oriented designs in cars. Beyond enthusiasm, touchscreens are also cheaper and more efficient to manufacture than physical controls. And as of 2018, all new cars sold in the US were required to have a rear-facing camera, enabling a driver to detect pedestrians behind their vehicle. This meant new cars had to have a screen inside them. Some experts see a direct link to the rise of touchscreens. Whatever the reasons, the Model S and Tesla Silicon Valley software-first approach felt unique. The company unveiled new cars like Apple presented new iPhones. Even if Tesla wasn't the first company to include a touchscreen in a car, for many people, the future finally seemed to have arrived. Suddenly, the rest of the industry was playing catch-up. To avoid being left behind, companies would have to shift gears. Unfortunately, along with a lot of other things, shifting was about to get really, really confusing. Congratulations, this is your new 2017 Range Rover Velar. You're going to love driving it. But first, you need to get inside. But how? Where are the... There have to be handles. How else? Maybe they're... No. Okay, no. Are they... No. Higher. Higher. Look, You just need a little finesse. First, press this little button, then the handle pops out. It's not that hard. But you might have to explain the procedure to your passengers. And things could get tricky in the winter. Okay, this will probably take some getting used to, but they're so sophisticated. The Velar is just the tip of the iceberg. These days, lots of cars have unusual door handles. Some, like the Ford Mustang Mach-E, got rid of handles entirely. Instead, there's a button, and they've camouflaged it. The Tesla Cybertruck's button is even better hidden. But back to your new Velar. Inside, you'll notice more oddities. Here's the shifter. As usual, the gears are labeled. But instead of the classic lever-shaped shifter, you use a dial to change gears. The 2017 Mercedes-Benz GLC has a monostable stock shifter. It's always returned to the center, which can make it tough to tell which gear you are currently in. The GMC Terrain moves shifting to buttons, which you pull rather than push. In its review, the website Motor One called it a complicated solution to a non-existent problem, a description that may or may not apply to many of the innovations in this video. From 2021 to 2023, if you were driving a Volkswagen ID.4, you shifted gears with this thing. See it there, hidden behind the steering wheel? You twist it to shift gears. Whether these new designs actually improve on anything is an open question, but they certainly bring the adventure back to driving. In the past, most cars' essential controls tended to look and feel more or less the same. With new features like these, every time you drive a different car, you have to learn how to operate it almost from scratch. But there's confusing, and then there's the Genesis Crystal Sphere. Let's say you ease on into a Genesis EV60. You want to back out of your parking spot. Wait, there's no shifter, just this little crystal ball. According to Genesis, it helps create an emotional connection between the driver and the vehicle. So slow down. Take a minute. Can you feel it? You start the car by pressing the brake and pressing this button. Like magic, the crystal sphere rotates, revealing the shift dial. Inside, there's a mood light. Shift into reverse by twisting the dial to the left. The dial vibrates, but nothing's wrong. No, that's the sweet vibration of safety. The mood light changes color too, putting you in a safety mood. You can't feel it? Okay, you know what? Let's take a step back. Try putting the car in neutral. With it still turned off, press the start button twice, but don't hold down the brake pedal. No, don't hold down the brake. Okay, try again. Without holding down the brake pedal, press the start button twice. Good, now you're in IG on mode. Remove the cap next to the crystal sphere. Well, there should be a cap there. Okay, skip the cap. Press that button, the one next to the crystal sphere. Good, good. Now you're in neutral. The touchscreen tells you so. The sphere rotates. There's the shift dial so you can... Oh, but you're already in neutral. Why would... You know what? Never mind. If you don't get it, you're clearly not alone. Genesis created a nearly 4-minute video to explain how to use the crystal sphere. Of course, cars have had weird shifters before, but these days it seems to be the shifter Wild West. By 2017, things had gotten so crazy, Car and Driver published an article, "Why are so many new cars' gear selectors so stupid?" And naturally, it doesn't end there. According to Wired, 97% of new cars released after 2023 have at least one screen inside them. In some, physical controls for many essential functions have disappeared entirely. In the past, you typically open a glove compartment by pulling a handle. These days, if you own a Tesla, you have to use the touchscreen.
Well, you got to go, there's a little car button, and it brings up a menu, and then I think it's usually the default, the top menu thing has these grid of various buttons and things you can do, and then you go to the glove box, and then that'll open the glove box, and then you can enter a security code if you want, and then you have to hit a 4-digit PIN to unlock the glove box.
But you still have to close the glove compartment manually. As modern cars become increasingly tech-based, some manufacturers have explored treating them more like software by selling upgrades or subscriptions. In 2022, BMW announced that certain features of its cars would be available only by subscription. To use their car's heated seats, for example, British customers had to pay £15 a month. By late 2023, BMW had dropped the idea due to low customer interest. A much better deal is a subscription to Brilliant, the online platform for really learning about serious topics in math, science, programming, and more. Brilliant isn't just more user-friendly than your 500 browser tabs full of random tutorials, it's way more effective. Brilliant's courses are designed by teachers, researchers, and professionals from places like MIT, Stanford, and Google. So even heady courses like digital circuits, programming with Python, and abstract thinking are about more than rote memorization. Instead, Brilliant lets you get hands-on with concepts and play around with them, a method that is proven to be 6 times more effective than watching lecture videos. You can use Brilliant on your computer or your phone, so you can always get a quick hit of knowledge even when you're on the go. To learn for free on Brilliant, go to brilliant.org/fern, scan the QR code on screen, or click the link in the description. Brilliant's also given our viewers 20% off an annual premium subscription, which gives you unlimited daily access to everything on Brilliant. In many ways, modern cars have come to feel like smartphones on wheels. They're packed with infotainment options, but hidden inside them is a major downside most drivers aren't aware of. Many modern cars have advanced features that rely on huge amounts of data from the surrounding environment.
Your car is a kind of data hoover, really, hoovering up everything. And what you'd hope is that data is being used to improve things all the time.
This is Professor Dale Harrow. He's chair of the Intelligent Mobility Design Center and head of the Intelligent Mobility Design Program at the Royal College of Art in London.
You know, I know Tesla do a lot of this where they're looking at kind of how people use the car and all that data about road conditions, road surfaces. So you could have a car that's talking to another car that says, I've just gone over a terrible pothole. And the car behind says, oh no, I'm coming up to it. Now I'll avoid that, you know. So it could be very good, all this sort of stuff.
But some cars don't just collect data about driving conditions. They collect data about you, how you move, your speech, even your facial expressions. Back in 2023, the Mozilla Foundation, a pro-privacy, tech-focused nonprofit, researched 25 different car brands to examine their approach to driver data and privacy in the US. Of the 25 brands, the foundation concluded that pretty much all of them collected more data than necessary to make their products work smoothly. And in their privacy agreements, most brands reserve the right to share drivers' personal data and sell it. According to Mozilla, that data went way beyond name, address, and phone number. It could also include your age, birthday, and the location of your phone. Your credit card number and information about how you financed and bought your car, products or services you've bought, products or services you've considered buying, your ID number, your social security number, your passport number, health status, signature, the shape of your face, fingerprints, your gait, genetic characteristics, race, religion and philosophical beliefs, employment information, whether you belong to a union, nationality, immigration status, photos, location history, recordings of your voice and the gestures you make. And at least 2 companies, Nissan and Kia, explicitly claim the right to collect information about customers' sex lives. We don't know whether companies do collect all this information, but in their privacy policies, the automakers Mozilla studied reserve the right to do so. There's also no way of knowing exactly how your car might collect data about your sex life, but a look around a modern car suggests some ways that it could. First, there's your phone. If you connect it to your car, either over Bluetooth or by plugging it in, you're potentially offering up an enormous treasure trove of data. Some cars store your contact list, some keep a log of your phone calls. Then there's the cameras and sensors that make many of the driver assist features in modern cars possible, including automatic lane centering, adaptive cruise control, and partial self-driving. Like many cars, the Tesla Model Y uses cameras and sensors to gather real-time data from in and around the car surroundings. Here's one camera, mounted above the rear license plate. Here are 2 more, one in each door pillar. There are 3 in the windshield, right above the rearview mirror, and 1 in each front fender. Depending on your model, there's also 1 inside the car, right above the rearview mirror. Tesla says its cameras are designed from the ground up to protect your privacy. But in 2023, 9 former Tesla employees told Reuters that images and video taken from customers' cars have been repeatedly shared around the Tesla office between 2019 and 2022. These reportedly included mundane images employees turned into intra-office memes, video of road rage incidents and crashes, including one of a Tesla hitting a child on a bike, and footage that was clearly private and even embarrassing, apparently including a man approaching the car, totally naked. According to one ex-employee, some of these recordings seem to have been made by cars that weren't even turned on, showing off whatever weird stuff customers happened to have in their garages. According to Reuters several years ago, Tesla employees stumbled upon footage of Wet Nelly, the submersible vehicle from the James Bond movie, The Spy Who Loved Me, dry docked in a Tesla owner's garage. In this case, the owner was Elon Musk. He may or may not have been aware his collectible was being recorded. According to Reuters, Tesla collected video recordings from vehicles that were turned off only with the owner's consent, but has long since stopped doing so. And Tesla does let drivers opt out of their vehicle collecting data, but there's a cost. This might lead to, quote, reduced functionality, serious damage, or inoperability. Oh, and Nissan's privacy policy makes you promise to inform any passengers about the features and limitations of your car system and services, including Nissan's data collection terms. Pinky swear you'll do it, and be sure to print out the whole policy for the next time you give a friend a lift. None of the car companies Mozilla dealt with would disclose exactly who they shared driver data with, and some policies are very broad. Your data could be used for marketing purposes, or an insurance company could raise your rates based on data about you driving. And without you ever knowing, your most sensitive information could be shared with the government or law enforcement. Hyundai's policy specifies that it will comply with lawful requests, whether formal or informal. These practices vary according to region. In the United States, for example, they seem to essentially be legal. In Europe, the law requires that companies offer specific justifications for processing consumers' data, but the effectiveness of those laws relies on compliance. Evidence suggests that companies still collect huge amounts of driver data, and that data may not always be securely stored. In the end, Mozilla came to the conclusion that of all the tech they ever reviewed, cars were the worst data collectors.
We'd never had a category where we couldn't find something good that we could recommend to somebody to choose over something bad.
And since the study was published, it's not clear much has changed. But it isn't just about your car, and who knows who else, knowing your sexual preferences. Some modern features are just plain dangerous. This is Coquihalla Mountain Pass, near Vancouver, Canada. And this is Quinn Duffy. He owns a 2022 Tesla Model Y, which he drives over the pass on trips to the interior of British Columbia. He told us about his experiences.
It's a high mountain pass, frequently has terrible weather, fog, heavy snow.
These situations need your full attention, but in snowy conditions, the Model Y's automatic high beams can blind the driver, and turning them off while driving can be a nightmare.
And the automatic headlights keep coming on. They'll disable when they sense a car in front. So on occasion they would shut off if we were coming up behind a big truck or something. But you have to go into, you know, this big screen, you have to go into car functions, you have to go into headlights or lighting. You have to try and find the high beams or the automatic headlights to try and disable these things. And I'm trying to get my wife beside me to, you know, I'm trying to talk her through the screens to find these options. Because I'm trying to concentrate on driving while being blinded by these high beams in heavy snow and fog. If I'm trying to do that myself, it's a screen. There's no physical button, there's no muscle memory, there's no haptic feedback. So you're trying to watch the options on a low contrast screen that you can't touch because the car's bumpy and your finger's bouncing around. These buttons are small. Like, there's a lot of really frustrating design features when they're trying to pack so much software and so much control into a screen, into multiple menus. You know, I think it's potentially dangerous, right?
Duffy is a game designer, and he's no stranger to technology. And even automotive professionals have struggled with the innovations in new cars. In 2024, Kelly Funkhauser took the Rivian S1, an electric SUV, out for a test drive. When traffic started to slow, she checked that adaptive cruise control, which automatically keeps the car a certain distance from any vehicles in front of it, was turned off. That required quickly flicking the shifter next to the steering wheel upward. But Funkhauser held that gesture slightly too long, a couple of seconds. Suddenly, the SUV shifted into reverse and began backing up towards the vehicles behind her. Kelly Funkhauser is the Associate Director of Vehicle Technology at Consumer Reports, and she test drives cars for a living. Yet even she couldn't avoid the usability hiccups that come with rapidly changing car design. Luckily, Funkhauser's experience was just a near miss. In June 2016, the actor Anton Yelchin, who played Mr. Chekhov in the 2009 film reboot of Star Trek, parked his Jeep Grand Cherokee on a steep hill outside his home in Studio City, California. The Jeep was one of 1.1 million vehicles that Fiat Chrysler had recalled months before. This was due to the monostable shifter, which always returned to the center position. That could make it difficult to tell what gear was selected. As Yelchin walked towards his home, the Jeep rolled backwards and hit him, crushing him against a brick pillar and security fence. There's no proof that the Jeep's monostable shifter was responsible for Yelchin's death. While his parents filed a wrongful death case against Fiat Chrysler, it was later settled out of court. But a week later, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration concluded its investigation into the shifters, and it seemed to reveal a worrying pattern. 686 complaints, 266 crashes or fires, and 68 associated injuries. Since the early 70s, the general trend in the US has been a decline in motor vehicle deaths. But around 2011, they began climbing again. In 2023 alone, there were 45,000 motor vehicle deaths. That's roughly the population of an entire town. Professor David Strayer of the University of Utah, who has studied infotainment systems and driver distraction, said this.
something's going on that's actually making our roads less safe. And it corresponds with increased prevalence of cell phones and touch screens and all electronics in the vehicle.
In 2020, the British road safety charity IM Road Smart commissioned a study on the impact of Apple CarPlay on driver reaction times. On a closed course, two groups of 20 drivers were asked to perform touchscreen tasks while driving. One group used Apple CarPlay, the other one Android Auto. It found that while using either voice or touch controls, drivers had a much harder time staying in their lane and maintaining a consistent distance from vehicles in front of them. When something appeared on the road ahead, they reacted over 50% more slowly than usual. When drivers selected music on Spotify using touch controls, their reaction times were even worse than in previous studies of texting while driving. Ultimately, compared to previous studies conducted by TLR, using either system slowed drivers' reaction times more than being at the legal limit for alcohol or cannabis. In 2022, a Swedish car magazine compared 11 new touchscreen-equipped cars to a 17-year-old Volvo with old-school physical controls. While driving 110 kilometers per hour, drivers performed simple tasks, like adjusting climate control or changing the radio station. The outcome was unambiguous. Drivers performed the task far faster using physical controls. It took them just 10 seconds, and during that time, the car traveled 306 meters. At the other end of the spectrum, using the touchscreen controls took 44.6 seconds in the worst performing car. During that time, it traveled 1,372 meters. In other words, the driver was distracted by the touchscreen for almost a mile. The weird door handles in modern cars may also be a safety concern.
And you have an accident, for example, and the firemen or the policemen come by and they have to get you out of the car. There's nothing to grab. You know, how are you going to open the car? You have to bust the glass and all that.
This is Frank Stephenson, Chief Creative Officer at Frank Stephenson Design and one of the most influential living car designers.
Typically, door handles were also used to, you know, they'd put their foot up against the car, stick their hand on the door handle and just pull it. That's the first reaction to do with a door handle. When we went away with that and we're starting to go now with normal flush door handles, you have to start more drastic measures to open the door.
But there are signs that some of these trends are finally reversing. In March 2024, the European New Car Assessment Program, or NCAP, announced big changes to its safety ratings. Beginning in 2026, cars won't be able to earn a 5-star rating unless they contain physical switches for specific functions. That includes the horn, turn signals, hazard lights, and windshield wipers. NCAP isn't a governmental body, but it's an influential nonprofit backed by several EU governments. Big car companies like Volvo, BMW, and Tesla all advertise their NCAP safety ratings. Many cars have essentially become phones on wheels, and this appealed to some drivers, at least in the showroom, but then the rubber hit the road. In March 2024, What Car magazine published a survey of 1,428 drivers. It found that almost 9 out of 10 preferred physical controls to touchscreens. 60% even said they'd be deterred from buying a new car built around a touchscreen. This survey is not a representative large-scale study, but it still raises a question. If the newfangled features in so many cars have potentially made roads less safe and many drivers don't seem to like them, are they truly innovations?
You know, it's just like, oh, come on. So that kind of is what I'm thinking. Is this just a gimmick? Because gimmick design is, do you need it? Does it help you? That's the first basic, you know, and does it improve, you know, everything?
In other words, is a magic orb of emotional connection really worth it? There's a cost to these dubious innovations. Literally, the affordable mid-price car seems to be going extinct, at least in the US. In February 2025, the share of new cars purchased costing less than $25,000 was less than 5%, down more than 18% from just 6 years before. That's the price range favored by many middle-class and first-time buyers, but there are fewer of those on the market these days, giving car companies an excuse to raise prices on those that remain. And profit margins are higher on tricked-out, high-priced vehicles anyway, so many dealers prioritize keeping those in stock, not budget vehicles. If this higher price point is more attractive for sellers, could all these innovative bells and whistles be another way of nudging consumers in that direction? In markets where large numbers of people need to take out a loan to buy a car, like the US, that's a serious issue. But amid all the gloom and doom, there is some good news. When Honda released its 2017 CR-V, it made a change to the infotainment system. The physical volume knob was back, replacing what at least one reviewer called an infuriating touch slider. BMW ditched gesture control, whereby drivers could make flicking or spinning gestures to control touchscreen functions, but not many apparently wanted to. And a year after NCAP rolled out its new safety standards, Volkswagen's head of design announced that VW would be bringing back buttons in all future models. Mint's comments even seem to indicate a change in mindset. We will never ever make this mistake anymore. On the steering wheel, we will have physical buttons. No guessing anymore. There's feedback, it's real, and people love this. Honestly, it's a car. It's not a phone, it's a car. So maybe automakers have learned their lesson this time, or maybe we'll be asking the same questions in another 40 years.
But the questions arise, is the CRT really necessary? And is there a built-in danger of looking away from the road while you're trying to use it?